Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Moving Right Along, a Muppet Movie podcast brought to you by toughpigs.com. This is the podcast where we watch Muppet Treasure Island 2 minutes at a time and talk about it a lot. I'm your host, Ryan Rowe.
I'm your other host, Anthony Strand.
And today we have a first-time guest with us. We're very happy to have him with us here today. Who are you, guest?
Hi, I'm Adam Grossworth of the Muppeturgy podcast.
Hey, yeah. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I'm really excited.
Probably everybody who's listening to this podcast knows what Muppeturgy is, but what's like the one-sentence description?
You know, we're in season 4 and I'm still so bad at the one-sentence version of this, but yeah. we are watching The Muppet Show in order on Disney Plus, and we sort of recap it, but we could do kind of a nerdy deep dive on the, you know, what was happening at that moment in real life when the show came out, and all the songs, and sort of get into the history and the background, and then we nitpick you know, a lot, as is our wont. We're having a good time. We're up to season 4. And we release new episodes every 2 weeks, and you can find us at Muppeturgy.com or wherever you get your podcasts or on social media. It's all Muppeturgy.
There you go. Yeah. And it's very informative, and everyone should listen to it.
It is very informative. And perhaps an added incentive or not, I don't know, but Ryan and I have both guested on that show as well.
It's true.
Wonderfully so, yes. Thank you. Sure we'll be back again. So yeah, seek out their episodes if nothing else.
Yeah. But today on this podcast, we are talking about minutes 17 and 18 of Muppet Treasure Island, in which pirates attack the Admiral Benbow Inn, and there's a lot of chaos and explosions and stuff. So yes, a lot of stuff happens pretty quickly here. I'm mostly going to go in order, like, it cuts back and forth a lot between a few different locations in the inn, but I'm just going to go in order to capture the feeling of chaos in these 2 minutes. But before that, there are a lot of pirates in this scene. And because this is what we do, I want to kind of go down the list. Some of these we've probably mentioned before, but and actually, you know, I did not consult Muppet Wiki, so tell me if I missed any. But we have Black Dog and Blind Pew, of course, who we met in previous minutes. Actually, Adam, you haven't been here with us. Do you have any thoughts on Black Dog or Blind Pew?
It's so cute that you think I know the names of any of these characters.
Black Dog is the dog with the is it a lazy eye or something is, yeah, is unusual about his eye?
Yeah, I can do context for these first two, I think. Blind Pew is like what if a Skeksis but cute?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I sort of love him. I'm also sort of glad he's not in the movie for any longer than this, spoiler, because he's not... he's kind of annoying, but as a puppet, I think he's great. I think all these puppets are great.
Yeah.
But that's kind of all I got.
Okay. So then there's a pig. Gotta have pig extras in a Muppet movie. There's a Frackle with a beard and white eyebrows. So I'm sure someone out there could tell us like exactly which Frackle this is, but I don't know if it's like Lavender Frackle or whatever. You got Old Joe, who I think we mentioned last week. This is the same puppet who was selling or buying and selling Ebenezer Scrooge's belongings in Muppet Christmas Carol. So he's back here without his giant spider legs. We have Brule, one of the minstrels from Fraggle Rock. We have Mr. Curly Twirly, one of our favorite Muppets who nobody knows who we're talking about when we talk about him.
Shout out to our friend Jared, who is obsessed with, is famously Mr. Curly Twirly's number one fan.
Yes, the president of the Mr. Curly Twirly Appreciation Society.
Yeah, this came up on the Discord and I had no idea what was going on. But I will say, when I watched these 2 minutes, I was like, well, that must be Mr. Curly Twirly.
Yeah, he's like, he kind of looks like one of the mutations from The Muppet Show.
Yes.
Just like a big shaggy purple guy.
Yeah. There's also, you get a brief glimpse of a smaller gray dog Muppet. And then also Lyle the dog, a Muppet dog who was seen on The Muppet Show and the Jim Henson Hour. There's a blue whatnot who kind of looks like Bill the Bubble Guy, but isn't. There is Wander McMooch, a villain from Fraggle Rock, who also showed up in Christmas Carol. There's Murray, another minstrel from Fraggle Rock, who kind of looks like Mr. Curly Twirly, but isn't. And then there's a lot of human pirates, which I had never quite realized before. How many of them are just kind of running around in the background? Any that I missed that you guys noticed?
No, you got them.
Okay.
I'm on the wiki now, and it says New Zealand is a pirate, but that's not this.
But that's later. Yeah, later he's one on of the ship, okay. He's one of the ship guys.
Oh yeah, I see here the Toms are here. Yeah, this is just all the
pirates. If you look on the Muppet Wiki page of pirates, there's a section called Pirates at the Admiral Benbow Inn. And that's
I should have consulted that, but
I think Ryan got them all. Independent research confirming what the wiki already shows.
Okay, nice. So then the minutes, they begin with a brief shot of Black Dog who's trying to find Billy Bones. Meanwhile, Mrs. Bluebridge reluctantly lets Jim into her room. She says, can't a woman get her beauty sleep anymore? Back downstairs, Blind Pew is waving his sword around. He almost hits the pig pirate. Then he approaches a grandfather clock. He opens it and immediately crashes into the pendulum inside. Another gag about, haha, it's so funny that Blind Pew is blind.
So are we meant to assume, do you think, that he thinks this is just a door to a room?
I guess so. Yeah, he thinks he's opening a door. Yeah,
to get in somewhere. Man, I don't think any of... I mean, we've talked about this, but I don't think any of this Blind Pew is blind stuff is funny at all.
Nope.
Like, it's just the joke over and over.
No, you're right. I like the slapstick of him crashing into the clock, but the fact that it's because he's blind is not so funny. But then while this is happening, though, I noticed for the first time in the background, you can see a human pirate sticking an unlit torch into the fireplace and lighting it.
Huh.
I had never seen that before, but it just adds to all the chaos and goings on that are happening. I wanted to mention this. On the DVD commentary, Brian Henson says they like to keep coming up with new things for Muppets to do in every movie. So in this one, they tried Muppets and Fire. And there's actually a lot of fire in this movie. Once you have that, you know, once you're looking for it, you will see so many candles and torches and fireplaces and tiki torches. And there's a lot of fire in this.
We talk about this on Muppet Trilogy a lot, actually, because there's a surprising amount of fire on the Muppet Show. Not like this, but, you know, it makes Michal very nervous whenever there is fire near a Muppet. And, you know, they're often using real candles or like some kind of like campfire effect. I tend to think like they're not really that close to it. I'm sure everything is fireproofed. Like they know what they're doing. And I guess it's not actually in this 2 minutes. It's like the next 2 minutes. But so I don't want to spoil your next episode, but like it made me really nervous how much fire there was, how close to these Muppets and the performers who were down there. Some, I don't know. I actually got very anxious about the amount of fire in the next 2 minutes.
That's
still
a good point, because when human actors work with fire, it's just like a person holding a candle. That seems safe. Yeah. But
I mean, I work in theater. Like I know how these things are very controlled and very safe. And like, you know, I just saw an off-Broadway show that had like jets of flame shooting out of the stage and you know, you could feel it in the audience. But the actors are all safe. It's fine. Right. But there's like something about the actors being entirely made of fabric that makes that slightly more alarming to me.
And I think that like the puppets cannot feel heat. In the, you know, like obviously the
how
the,
dare you?
No, I mean, you know
mean
what
the
I
characters?
Mean. No, I'm or? Saying like a person can know when they're getting too close to a flame, but if that person has an entire puppet between them and the flame,
right? If your Muppet catches fire, you might not notice.
Exactly. Yeah. Like that's
what
I'm
it's
saying.
Like you're wearing a glove, and then
a giant glove,
right?
That is, you know,
right. So in this scene, actually, Rizzo, there's a shot where Rizzo is holding a candle. If Steve Whitmire were holding a candle, that would be fine, but he has his arm inside a puppet that is very close to a candle, and that does seem more dangerous. So so meanwhile, I'm gonna probably just keep saying meanwhile because things are cutting around so much. Gonzo and Rizzo have gotten their hands on a gun and they pour gunpowder inside. Speaking of dangerous, yes.
Why is there so much gunpowder in this inn?
Yeah, there's this room.
It's a good question.
It appears to be like an armory or...
Yeah, I know it's very piratey and we need to defend ourselves, but like, there's a lot of gunpowder being stored in the next to the food.
Yeah,
it is, right.
Yeah, well, the whole room is full of guns and gunpowder and bullets.
And also, as we'll see, a giant bag that says bullets on it.
Yes. Which
is also... In the before this, I think I admire about this movie, but I'm not sure. And I wonder if they just were assuming that everybody knew Treasure Island, which I don't really. They don't explain a ton. Like, the whole thing with the black spot, and, like, you've probably talked about this already, and I haven't heard it yet, so, like, stop me anytime. But, like, I got it. I figured it out. But especially, like, for kids, like, there's not, like, a big heap of exposition about what the black spot is. And then there's this room where everything is clearly labeled gunpowder, bullets. Right. It's like, can we pick an approach, please?
Yeah. Billy Bones does say the black spot is a pirate's death sentence, but he says it in the middle of many other lines while he's frantically running around and screaming.
I know that, like, when I was a kid, I kind of thought the black spot killed him. Because they delivered the black spot to him, and then he just kind of dies. You know,
it does seem that way, yeah. Aww. And I think there's a Monty Python sketch about the black spot, which I'm just understanding now.
Yeah, sure. But yeah, because what it is, I think we talked about last week, maybe. But in the book, it's like it's telling him that they're going to come kill him, and then he dies anyway from, like, you know, anxiety and too much rum, basically. Right. But here, it does kind of feel like, I got the black spot, Jim, and then he dies, you know?
Yeah, it's just kind of a coincidence.
Right.
But so, Anthony, then you thought it was, like, the black spot was poisonous, or you just...
Yeah, I don't know. It just seemed like, yeah, I don't know. I was 11.
Yeah.
I didn't think about much.
No, I mean, I watched the first 17 minutes of the movie this morning and kind of thought that.
Right.
So, like, and I'm 48. So, yeah. Like, it's really unclear, and I just think it's funny that... You know, then everything is labeled.
Yeah. Good thing none of the other characters handled the black spot then. Yeah. So Gonzo runs off to look for bullets. He doesn't realize he's leaking gunpowder out of the barrel all over the floor everywhere he runs.
It is absolutely wild how much gunpowder they spill on the floor.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's potentially more gunpowder than you would expect that barrel to hold.
But it does feel like a pretty classic cartoon gag.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and especially like later on when they're running back and forth, chasing it over the same ground over and over. That feels real. And I think, we'll get there, but
yeah,
it's very cartoon.
Black Dog comes out of Billy Bones' room and the other pirates are standing there. He says, Billy's dead and he hasn't got the bloody map. There's that word again, which we established. That is a swear word in the UK.
Well, and this is the first time we hear a Muppet say it. Last time, Billy Connolly said it.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it is, once again, it was dubbed to Bloomin'. He hasn't got the Bloomin' map in the UK.
Huh.
Interesting.
Yeah. All three instances of bloody in the movie were changed.
So, well, I'll just ask you now. The next one is also a villainous character?
The last one is Tim Curry.
Yeah, okay. Blind Pew declares that those little girls must have the map, which means Jim, whom he previously mistook for a girl, but now apparently he also thinks Gonzo and Rizzo are girls. I don't really know.
It's supposed to be a joke.
Yeah, it's supposed to be.
Sure is. Has the cadence of a joke.
It does. It sure does.
Yeah. But yeah, like how did he even know Gonzo and Rizzo were in the room before? I don't know. Anyway,
probably not.
Rizzo found the bullets. He then drops them all over the floor. So apparently they can't pick them up and use them in the gun.
You can't pick them up? Is that what you're saying? Like
they seem to be like, oh no, now it's a lost cause.
Yeah.
No, they're Muppets. They don't have proper working.
That's hands. True. Neither of them are live hands. That's true.
That's true. Yes.
I just, this is a non sequitur, but it just popped up in my feeds, the clip of Kermit and Scooter presenting the Oscars.
Oh, yeah.
In which Scooter can't open the envelope.
Right.
And, like, they actually make a bit out of it, and it's very good. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, that's great. And so what do they end up doing? They have a human come on stage?
They cut to Statler and Waldorf. Actually, I'm curious to know how they did it, because they cut to Statler and Waldorf from the audience.
Okay.
Who I guess... if it was really live, must have been pre-recorded.
Either pre-recorded dialogue. Or they were just like throwing their voices
or they just
to
did it
two other
stage,
puppeteers.
Yeah. And then Kermit's gone and Jim pops up.
Oh, okay.
To actually present the award. It's pretty great. It's worth finding.
Yeah. I'll track that down and put it in the show notes.
Link to it, yeah.
That's a good one. So the pirates are pounding on Mrs. Bloveridge's door. Old Joe says they'll skewer anybody who gets in the way. This is Jerry Nelson again, doing a voice that sounds a lot like Blind Pew, but without the French accent.
Open up in there! We want a map and we obscure anybody who gets in the way.
Yeah, it sounds a lot like Pogorg to me.
Yeah.
I do think it's interesting that it's Jerry again. Like, he's already Blind Pew.
Right, we just heard him.
There are other puppeteers playing these pirates. Like, why not give that role to, I don't know, David Rudman or whoever? You know, like whoever else was in the room.
Yeah, I don't know. Could have been anybody.
Yeah.
So, Mrs. Blovich sends Jim out another door in the back of her bedroom that apparently goes upstairs. She's being very helpful to him now. You know, we've seen her being pretty mean to him as his caretaker or employer or whatever she is. But now she's being very nice. She's not even trying to escape herself.
Right. She's saving the day.
There's an explosion as the pirates break into the room. Mrs. Blovich rolls up her sleeves, braces herself on the doorway, and kicks them all down. And then there is a bowling ball and bowling pin sound effect, which is fun.
I think that the shot of Mrs. Blovich like kicking and throwing the pirates around, bonking all the pirates.
Yeah.
I think that the framing of that shot really hurts it.
Oh, you think
because
so?
Because we're looking like over the puppets at her. They're like almost blocking our view of the action. We're like looking at the backs of their heads while they get smacked around. And I feel like we almost can't. It's like too chaotic to really land for me.
It's the same angle as when she kicks them all?
Yeah. Well, like, that's the one I'm talking about, is when she's kicking them all.
Like, oh, okay.
It's like, I don't know. There's something about if we had a better view of the action, it would be funny. Like, it more overhead maybe or something? I'm not sure, but the space looks so cramped, I think, that it doesn't land for me. I don't know.
The chaos felt deliberate to me.
Sure.
And, like, I also imagine, like, human on Muppet fight choreography is very hard.
Yeah, I'm so sure you're right.
I think you're right. I think they're obscuring it deliberately, that she can just kind of like flail her arms around and then the Muppets fall
right
over.
I'm sure you're right.
Yeah,
it doesn't really work for me either, but I think it was a choice, whether it was a good choice or not.
It also might have to do with us seeing that there's this whole mob of Muppets which are in the foreground. They're obscuring her. That's how many of them there are. But then as soon as she attacks them, they all just scatter. Like, that's how powerful she is.
Right. She does really let Mr. Curly Twirly have it first.
Right. That's yeah. So then, yeah, she's
backhand
slapping him. She's just like punching and slapping all of them. She singles out Mr. Curly Twirly. And it occurred to me, like, so I was thinking, oh, this is like a Three Stooges bit. So she would be like Mo, and Mr. Curly Twirly would be like Curly.
See what you did there.
Yeah. Or what they did. No, he wasn't even called Mr. Curly Twirly yet, right? And got that name later.
Muppet Top Shop. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
And so,
wow.
And so Jim is like Larry because he found the door.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I remember having that revelation being like 13 and watching a bunch of Three Stooges. And Larry was always the one who would be like, look, a window, when they were trying to escape.
Yeah, I may have said this on the podcast before, but that's why Larry is the best stooge, because all he does is move the action along. Like, if he was not there to say, look a window, or fellas, let's get to work, it would just be 20 minutes of Mo poking Curly in the eyes.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, Larry's my favorite stooge.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Listeners, if we have or we haven't already asked you, tell us who your favorite of the Three Stooges is. Adam, who's your favorite?
I have no Three Stooges opinion.
All right. Okay. All right.
Literally none.
That's a fine way to live your life, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's fine.
Perfectly acceptable.
It's not a thing that ever really, really crossed my path. I mean, they were around, obviously. Yeah. Right. I live in the world. And I'm old, right. But like, they never really did it for me. So
yeah, that is okay. Gonzo has lost even more gunpowder as the pirates push the door open. Somehow it's a lot easier for them to break this door open than it was Mrs. Blovridge's door. Black Dog says, the map, tell us where it is or die. And I haven't announced all of these on the show, but I have been keeping track of every time a character in this movie talks about death or dying or killing. So at this point, I'm up to one case of kill or killed, one murder, two dead, three die or died, and two death. So those words are popping up in this movie a lot.
And we're only 18 minutes in.
Yeah, exactly. As I mentioned, Rizzo is holding a candle, which seems dangerous for a puppet to hold a candle. He is so scared to see these pirates burst in that the candle goes flying and lands on the ground right on top of the gunpowder trail and ignites it. And it's like the spark is seems like it's alive, seems like it's chasing them. Everyone screams and runs away. So, yes, there's this shot where the camera is stationary, and we are looking between two barrels as this line of so many pirates and Gonzo and Rizzo just run for their lives from one side of the frame to the other, followed by the spark of gunpowder. Then there's a brief pause. They all run back the other direction. I love this gag. I think it's very well executed here.
I agree. This is maybe my favorite thing in the whole movie. And I especially love that I'm pretty sure that somebody was running behind those Muppets with a sparkler.
Oh, yeah.
I think you're right.
How they did that. And, like, it's too high off the ground. It makes no sense. I don't care. It looks great. It's super fun. You could feel like they're all having fun, which
yes,
is not a thing so. I often feel during this movie.
Right. I agree.
So,
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I hadn't thought
I really like it, too, for the record.
Yay. We all like it. I hadn't thought about that being a sparkler, like, or how it got there. Yeah, and that's one of those things where you just kind of either don't think about it or just have to accept in Muppet productions that they're going to cheat a little bit with, like, okay, so it's a little too high off the ground, but...
But it's, like, it works.
Yeah.
Like, that's the point. And right. It's... and I love the low-tech simplicity of...
Yeah.
They're just running back and forth, and someone's got a sparkler. Like, mm-hmm. That's all there is to it. And there's a lot in this movie that is much higher tech than this, and...
Yeah, that's true.
This works better than most of that.
And then they speed it up and they do it again. And that's like such an old, like, actually in the DVD commentary, Brian Henson compares it to a Laurel and Hardy gag, but just any kind of old comedy film where, you know, fast motion is always funny. Or like on the Munsters, they did that a lot. Any slapstick comedy, if you want to make it funnier, put it in fast motion.
Yeah.
Speed it up. Finally, though, the spark hits the barrel of gunpowder right where Black Dog is standing. As he realizes what's happening, he says, "Oh, woof."
And that's a dog swear word, I think.
I guess that, yeah.
I mean, it sort of sounds like he's about to say, am I allowed to say that on the spot?
Well, you can say it and, yeah, I'll play it later.
It sort of sounds like he's about to say the F word, and then it both... turns into woof and gets cut off, but like that also feels very deliberate. That
I think you're right. I agree.
Like, yeah,
like he was gonna say woof and then another word, or
I get because I think he says like woof and then the explosion happens, right? And so I thought that was a joke.
Yeah,
yeah, I can no, garbage. I yeah, I can hear it. It hadn't occurred to me, but I can hear it.
Yeah, it works. I wonder if they tossed around any other ideas for what a dog might say as a swear word.
Yeah.
I don't know. Listeners, if you have any ideas for what a dog might say as a swear word, let us know.
Yeah, everything's good.
Hey, hang on. I'll ask my dog.
Oh, yeah. Good idea.
No, he's very pure. He would never.
Oh, there you go.
It's
dog
too
has
innocent.
A clean mind. He's not like a pirate. Then there's a huge explosion. And that's pretty much where the clip ends. This is one of the cleaner ends to a 2-minute clip that we've had.
Yeah, I was very satisfied. That's where it cut
woof,
off.
Explosion, end of the clip. Nice. And yeah, that it's an impressive explosion. And you see a stunt man, like a human pirate, go flying. That's cool. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much all I have for these 2 minutes. I just have one, like a little bit from the way this plays out in the June 1st, 1994 draft of the screenplay. It's just similarly chaotic. It's not exactly like this. But as I've been mentioning, Captain Smollett is at the inn in this draft. But after being incapacitated by the pirates, he doesn't actually do anything in the sequence. And neither does Mrs. Bloverich, because she sleeps through most of it until some pirates crash through her door and wake her up. And then that's kind of it. And Jim, meanwhile, escapes in a dumbwaiter, which doesn't happen in the movie. As far as I know, I guess we'll find out next week. But that could have been fun. Dumbwaiters are always fun for, you know, escapes and characters going off to do secret things in movies.
Seems like a cut that might have been made for budgetary reasons, honestly.
Oh, so they wouldn't have to build a dumbwaiter
into
the set?
Where it's easier to just be like, Jim, run out of here, you know?
Yeah.
Well, and it's already, the whole sequence is already so chaotic.
Right, that too.
But, and like, I have no idea where that storeroom is in the tavern, and it doesn't really matter.
Right.
But if you start adding dumbwaiters in, I just, that's going to get confusing.
It just complicates things.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Anything else on these 2 minutes? Adam, starting with you.
Yeah. I mean, no, I like it's, it, I think we've said most of it. Going into the next 2 minutes, also, just because I did sort of, I was like, thank you for giving me a scene at the beginning of the movie so I could actually watch up to it and not be confused.
Yeah, good.
I did watch the whole thing when you started this podcast, so not that long.
Okay. But,
it's just very labyrinth to me, and not just because Blind Pew looks like a Skeksis to me, but like, you know, the raids of the podlings and
all so dark, running, so dark
crystal.
Dark crystal.
Yeah, what did
you
I say?
Said labyrinth.
Yeah. Yes. Sorry, I meant Dark Crystal. Please forgive me, listeners. But yes, very, you know, sort of all those sort of, this is like the more comic spin on those very violent sequences.
Yeah, sure, I
which
am.
Are pretty upsetting in the Dark Crystal, and are a little upsetting here because, like, a bunch of those Muppets explode.
Right.
Like, I don't think they really kill them, I mean, you know, in the movie. I think that they, because it is a movie for children, we're going to see that they're fine, but, like, they shouldn't be fine. They should be dead.
Yeah, I'm not sure that we do.
I actually don't remember what happens in the next 2 minutes. Now I'm trying to,
I don't remember. Yeah, we'll have to go see.
Did some of these Muppet pirates die in this explosion?
Wow. I mean, that dog has to be dead.
Right.
I'm sorry.
He was right under the powder. Yeah, the gunpowder. So, yeah.
I think you're right.
Wow. Yeah. R.I.P. Black Dog. Okay. Anthony, do you have any other thoughts or anything from The Strange Case?
I do. So I will open up The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Speaking of which, you've heard the sound effect that I've been using.
Yes, I have. I love it.
You do? Okay, so I'll keep it. I wasn't sure.
Yeah, I like it. I think it's funny.
Yeah.
But so this scene is actually relatively faithful to the book, by which I mean that Blind Pew does leave and then come back with a bunch of other pirates to look for Billy Bones' treasure map in the book. And they tear the place apart. There's no, like, the gunpowder, that's not in there and stuff. But
sure.
Okay.
But they just, like, tear the place apart. And when Jim comes back to the inn, he finds it, like, in disarray, you know?
So he's not present for the attack.
He is present for the start of the attack, and then he leaves.
Okay.
You know, because Jim's our narrator, so everything's from his point of view.
Right. Where does he go?
He leaves to... Let me double check that. I did not note that. All right.
I mean, it's okay. It's not actually important. It just seems like a weird thing for him to do in the middle of the sequence.
He's just hanging out in a dumbwaiter.
Black Dog. That's the guy. All right. Let's see.
Oh, so there's actually a pirate named Black Dog.
Black Dog, yes. And Blind Pew as well.
Got it. Well, that I figured.
Yeah.
The literal dog to the...
Right. Yeah, exactly. But I think that's why.
Presumably it's like, that. Yeah, that's why they made that puppet.
So... He and his mother leave and go to the hamlet, just like into town. They just like run away and go into town.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then they come
back.
They
go all the way into town. Oh, and then they come back and everything is done.
Yes. But also, Blind Pew does mention Johnny, Black Dog, and Dirk by name in this sequence. So those are some of the other pirates. So I'm going to assume that Johnny is Brule the Minstrel and Dirk is Mr. Curly Twirl.
Dirk. Okay.
Dirk, D-I-R-K. But also Blind Pew, when he runs out then, after this, they don't find the map. They've given up. He runs out and he actually gets trampled to death by horses who are pulling a carriage.
Huh. Ooh.
Yeah. So, and Jim,
bleak.
Yeah, and Jim just kind of witnesses this, and he's like, that's the end of Blind Pew.
He's just like, yeah, see, you wouldn't want to be
there.
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, and then this is unrelated to the book, but...
Kitty.
Morris
this
just
is the part
up.
Of the podcast where my cat comes in the room to see what I'm doing, and I have to keep him away from the microphone.
So... You and Morris together actually is a good segue into what else I started. So, listener Iska, do you know this? Do you know this on the Discord?
Oh, I assumed Iska, but Iska? I'm not sure. So,
asked
let us know
if we were going to talk about other versions of Treasure Island, like we did A Christmas Carol. So, I decided, since I don't know many others besides Treasure Planet and the 1950 Disney movie, I decided it would be fun to start watching the 1978 anime series. Which is a 26-episode anime. It's on Tubi in the original Japanese with subtitles. And I decided, you know what? It's only 26 episodes. We're doing more than 26 episodes for this show. I'll just watch one every week until I'm done.
Okay.
And it's extremely fun. So it's reasonably faithful so far. I've only watched the first episode. But the first episode is about Billy Bones, the captain, showing up at the inn, getting extremely drunk, starting fights, yelling about 15 men on a dead man's chest. And then Dr. Olivsey comes over to yell at him about not paying his tab. And so that's not in the book. But Jim, right. The big difference is that Jim has a pet leopard cub also named Benbow, even though the inn is named that. So it's kind of like Gonzo and Rizzo a little bit, you know?
Oh, so they specifically established that the inn is called Benbow, but the leopard is also called Benbow?
Yes. Yeah, it's the inn. You see his sign.
He has a pet leopard cub in England?
Yeah. Yes. Sure. And they say that, like, you know, some pirates washed ashore or whatever. Someone left him at the inn or whatever, gotcha. You know. Billy Bones does offer Jim and Benbow a fourpenny to watch out for the one-legged man, which is right out of the book. That's a fourpence is what he offers him in the book. So, and that's kind of where it ended. Like, he's just kind of like, watch out for the one-legged man. I'll pay you. That's where.
Okay.
So it's fun so far. Cool. I would definitely recommend it to anyone who wants to see another adaptation and likes anime.
Yeah. Is that just called Treasure Island?
Treasure Island. It's from 1978. And it's 26 episodes long.
Okay, yeah. Nice. Mm-hmm. Tubi has a lot of great stuff that you wouldn't necessarily know to look for or expect to look for, but if you just start browsing, there's a lot of great stuff there.
It's true.
And it's free with ads.
Right.
This podcast has been brought to you by Tubi.
I wish.
This is weird. This is the second time this week I've talked about Tubi on a podcast.
Because they have such a wild collection.
There you go. Yeah. Just goes to show you. What was the other time?
By the time this comes out, it'll be weeks in the past, but I was a guest on Extra Hot Great, and there was a segment about Tubi's new logo and rebrand.
Not into it. Yeah. I just noticed that.
Terrible. And I was like, oh, what did they do?
It looks like, I'm sure you guys talked about this because it looks just like it, but it looks like the logo for Freeform, the rebranded ABC Family.
Yeah, which I think was maybe deliberate. We thought it looked much more like the logo for like some sort of, you know, product that they advertise on podcasts or, you know, some kind of like homeopathic something. And then they like put out a press release about it. And like the dot that's in the wrong place, the dot is between the T and the U instead of over the I.
Right.
It is meant to represent the rabbit hole that you will fall down while watching Tubi, which no.
And what it also means is that they neither cross the T nor dot the I.
Correct. Yeah. Oh, wow.
And also, nobody will know that that's what it represents without your press release. No, of course, right. You failed at design. Okay, well, so, yeah.
Okay, anyway. Then I would like to reduce the enthusiasm of my endorsement for Tubi at this time based on their new logo.
But it's true. Tubi and the equally stupid Freevee have some really good stuff on them that
you can watch. Yeah, Freevee too. So, a lot of old movies that you can't find anywhere else. I had one other thing. I meant to say this last week from the old listener comment treasure chest. This is from our friend Katie Lynn. We had speculated about whether there was a real Admiral Benbow Inn, and they discovered that there is an Admiral Benbow. It's in the town of Penzance in the county of Cornwall in England.
Heard of it.
From the website of the Admiral Benbow. One of the oldest drinking houses in Penzance, the Admiral Benbow has been around since the 17th century. Legend has it Robert Louis Stevenson visited Penzance in 1880 after traveling in America. He had formulated an idea for a book he wanted to call Treasure Island, but had yet to settle on the starting point for the story. A visit to the Benbow, which was at that time an illegal drinking den and home to numerous smugglers, is said to have inspired him further, and as a nod to the pub, he included the name in his story, Treasure Island, which first appeared in 1881. So there you go. It's real. You can go visit and drink some rum there.
And the Pirates of Penzance, I just looked up, I did not know this, debuted in London in 1880.
Oh, okay.
So the association of Penzance, the town, with pirates
was
a thing around this time. I mean, I assume it is actually like a seaside.
Pirates were in the air in Penzance. Yeah. All right. So then, Adam, we always ask our guests two questions. The first one is, what is your history with this movie?
I don't really have one. Okay. I'm a little older than you guys, and so I grew up with the Muppet Show sort of in first run, and then in immediate reruns. I was born in 75, so I'm just a couple years older than the Muppet Show. Mm-hmm. And then, I quote unquote outgrew it, which didn't last all that long. So I was 14 or 15 when Jim Henson died. I remember that really clearly. I remember being really sad. And then I remember seeing Christmas Carol in the theaters and hating it, which I don't anymore. Yeah. But I think I was just really disappointed. And I didn't even know at the time about that Richard Hunt had died, I don't think, because, pre-internet. And, and I was like, why does everybody sound weird? And this is, I don't like this. And then it was probably college when I got back into the Muppet Show. This growing out of it didn't last very long. And then,
that's
true. In college,
and we're like, oh, the Muppets are funny. This is great. And the three movies I grew up with and the show I grew up with, were all really solid. And I'm pretty sure I must have seen this in the theater. This came out, I think, my senior year of college. But I have no memory of that. And I also never read Treasure Island as a child. If I saw the Disney, I have no memory of it whatsoever. This story just fully passed me by. And I revisited it again a few years ago and then was sort of meh on it, and then revisited it again when you guys started doing it for the podcast. And I think it's fine, but it's not, I've come back around on a lot of modern Muppet stuff. There was a point, controversially, that point was A Very Merry Muppet Christmas, where it keyed into the zeitgeist and my sense of humor in, a very late 90s, early 2000s way that I don't know holds up. But I was like, oh, the Muppets are back. Okay, great. Hmm. These two movies were a real transition period for them, and for me as a fan being like, I don't know about this.
Sure.
Yeah, early yet after Jim Henson.
Yeah, I think it's fine. I have no real use for this story. I have seen Treasure Planet, and I've seen a quite good stage musical adaptation that I spent the whole thing being like, I hate all these people, and I hope that they all die at sea. Sure. Which is not the fault of the musical; it was the fault of the source material. Right? I just was like, I don't. Why? Huh. Why are we here? This all seems very dangerous. You should all have stayed home. You seem to actually be doing fine on money, so just leave it alone.
Yeah, the end of the story should just be Jim decides to stay home.
Right. I appreciate that in this version, they do give it some stakes for Jim and Gonzo and Rizzo's situation. Mm-hmm. That this money is actually really important to them, and sort of the thing with Jim's dad and all that. That felt better set up to me than in some versions, but yeah. Sorry.
No. Well, then the next question, the second question is, where do you rank it among all the Muppet movies?
Oh, boy. So I just recently rewatched Muppets from Space, which I had thought I had liked, which this is, saying, but they don't hold up, right? I loved that movie when it came out. I don't anymore. So it's above that. So I would definitely put the first three at the top, and
sure,
debate that order another time. And I have not revisited them recently, but I generally like 2011 and Most Wanted. Mm-hmm. I actually like Most Wanted more, which I'm not sure is a popular opinion. So probably below those. Look, it's really close to the bottom, you guys.
Sure.
So maybe second to last.
But maybe second to last. I would have to watch those other newer ones again.
Sure.
I mean, are we counting TV? Are we counting Wizard of Oz?
I generally don't.
If you like those better than this, you
no,
can
I don't.
Discuss.
I'm saying they would. I'm trying to help this movie.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
We're listening.
So. Oh, I see. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to make it not second to last. Yeah. But yeah.
If you want to count them, it's better than Kermit's Swamp Years, probably. You know.
Which I've never seen.
There's no reason to see. Money.
No, I just I've missed that completely.
Almost like that doesn't even belong in the same category as Very Merry Muppet Christmas, right, or Wizard of Oz, because it's not even the Muppets.
It's right. It's Kermit. Closer to being a Muppet baby, and it's not even Muppet babies. It's just
it's Muppet relatives.
Yeah, it's Muppet relatives. Yeah. It is.
All right. Well, I guess with that, then we can wrap things up for this week. Adam, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I wish I had more to say about these 2 minutes.
No, it's funny. So much happens. There's so much action, but we really were just kind of like, oh, yeah, okay, that happens.
So. There's not a lot of plot. Like, nothing really advances until the explosion. Yeah.
Yeah, that's just kind of how it goes in some two-minute spans. As always, thanks to Morgan Davey for our show's logo. Listeners, you can find toughpigs.com on the internet. We're all over social media, as well as TeePublic and Patreon. You can also join the conversation at the Tough Pigs Discord server, where generally the conversation about each episode of the season has started before I can get to the thread where the conversation is happening. So that's great to see that people are so eager to talk about each new episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
Yes. And you can let us know what you think of this movie, either on Discord or by writing us at moveinrightalong@toughpigs.com. You can find me on Letterboxd at Movies Are Neat and Anthony on Letterboxd at Zeppo Marxist. I am on Blue Sky at Me Ryan Rowe. Anthony's on Blue Sky at Durwood Clapper. And Adam, where can people find you online?
I am Adam807 everywhere. I'm still on Twitter and Blue Sky and Instagram and Threads, I guess, and Letterboxd. Oh. And I am on the Tough Fix Discord. And you can find Muppeturgy in most of those places as well at Muppeturgy.
All right. How are things going on Threads these days?
Better than when it started. Like, it's not the hateful experience that it was when it launched. I don't really have the bandwidth for three.
That's the thing.
I really like Twitter, and I really spent a lot of time curating my Twitter experience, and I understand all the things that are bad about it. But, like, for me personally, it's been, like, I've met some of my best friends on Twitter. So, you know, in, like, 2009, that's not the Twitter that we have anymore. I get it. But, like, and so, like, now that it's, like, it's fragmented, and also, like, some people are posting the same thing in all three places, which I don't blame them for doing, but I'm just, like, I can't keep up.
You don't need to see it three times.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm actually on Twitter much less than I used to be also, because I've just kind of, like, abandoned the whole enterprise. But, but you know, I dabble. I check in. If you want to at me at any of those places, I will get a notification. So,
all right. So
you can yell at me for my bad Muppet Treasure Island opinions. That's fine.
Yes, you can do that by finding Adam in some of those places or all of those places. And listeners, please tell everyone you know to check out the show, including all the your fellow pirates that you are ransacking and in with. And join us again next week for another episode of Moving Right Along. See you later.
Oh, woof.